I, Charles IV, or is it the third? Bloody
pain. We will strive for the detoxification of the
Let me put it to you.
Can't grow concrete.
Yes, you
if
can.
You win by one, oh, you've won.
The phone went over the side.
It is time to draw it up.
I just think everyone should be sure.
What the fuck is going on?
Hello, I'm Sean Walsh. Welcome to Mark Steele's podcast, where each week he asks the question, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going on?
So, what the fuck is going on? Well, Mark has finished his cancer treatment. Fantastic news, but he's still suffering from the side effects. So he's asked me to stand in for him. I say asked, more sort of wrote it on a whiteboard. He has temporarily lost his voice, which is obviously awful news for him. And for his friends and family, a welcome relief. I like to think that I'm an ideal host for this podcast, whereas Mark knows something about just about everything. I genuinely have absolutely no idea what the fuck is going on with anything at all. So I'm going to have some guests come on today to try and help me answer the question, what the fuck is going on? Let's crack on.
What the fuck is, oh, what the fuck is, oh, what the fuck is going on?
Thanks to the recent ITV drama, the post office scandal has been in the news so much that even I heard about it. A lot of people are quite rightly very upset by it, especially this woman who Mark heard on a phone in.
Oh, I'm sick of it, Jeremy, sick of it. All these people getting compensation from the post office. I had to queue up for some stamps the other day. 8 minutes I was there, but do I get an apology and 75 grand to make up for it? Ha, not likely. Someone said it was because they were accused of stealing from the post office. Oh, so you get money for doing that now, do you? I expect they'll be giving them two schoolboys who came in and stole a packet of Haribo £1 million each. And who's going to pay for that, muggins? I saw this programme about it on the television. This funny little man going on and on about it. Last time I saw him, he was a metal detectorist. Hasn't he got enough money with all that treasure he's found? Oh, I'm sick of it, Jeremy. Sick of it. And what's all this about computers getting it wrong? I never once won the lottery jackpot. Don't tell me that's not down to the computers picking the wrong numbers. I rang the police. I said, aren't you going to arrest them? I bet some of that prize money's gone to foreigners. But oh no, they don't want to know about it. They're too busy dancing at carnivals and painting rainbow flags on the panda cars. Oh, I'm sick of it, Jeremy. Sick of it.
Oh, what the fuck is going on?
It's impossible to know what the fuck is going on without speaking to an expert. Now, Mark doesn't normally know what the fuck is going on. I don't have a fucking clue. I know nothing about anything, less than Mark, who pretends that he doesn't know anything. I actually don't know anything, and I have here with me to explain everything and tell me what the fuck is going on, the wonderful Rosie Holt. And the real
Hello.
Rosie Holt as well, not Rosie Holt playing the MP who has the same name. Did you not think maybe at some point, I've spoken to you about this, do you not think did you not think at some point that might be confusing?
No, I didn't,
You've called a character the
my
same name.
That's the same what Will Smith did in The Prince of Bel-Air, actually, so.
I've got good, yeah, that's good answer. No, that's and Al Murray does it. That's not the Al Murray pub landlord is.
Is he the? Is his name? But isn't he just the pub landlord? I don't know. I've never actually seen Al Murray on stage.
Al Murray, no, Al Murray the pub landlord is the character. But
okay, cool.
He still uses. He could have used another name.
Yeah, he could have been Barry the pub landlord.
Exactly. Precisely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, yeah. Listen, you've got to explain to me a few things,
right?
Because I have a gist. Things have bled through and made their way into my ears. So, you know, we're going to start off, I think, Rwanda. Who is he?
Rwanda,
Yes. So, explain to me what the fuck is going on. Because, you know, you pop into the shop to get some milk, to get some biscuits, some nappies, toilet rolls. And you see on the headlines the word constantly Rwanda. Almost on a daily basis.
Is it Rwanda or Rwanda?
Am I genuinely getting it wrong? That's incredible.
So that's great. That's the first thing to explain what is going on.
I thought it was Rwanda.
Like Rwanda.
Yeah, like the Disney, the Marvel like series, WandaVision. Rwanda. Yeah, WandaVision.
Yeah. WandaVision. I like that. It gives it a more fantastical vibe, which I think is what the government are going for anyway. They're trying to say, go to the magical place of Rwanda.
I know less than I thought I knew. This is incredible. Rwanda.
Yeah, you're welcome.
There'll be someone out there that pronounces it Rwanda.
No Rwanda. One asked that, Sean.
No, okay. Yes. Well, I'm changing it. Rwanda.
Rwanda!
Rwanda, get here, Rwanda! What's going on? Explain Rwanda to me.
Well, because the latest thing is they're trying to put through a bill where they can send a load of refugees to Rwanda.
Where are the refugees coming? So where are the refugees coming from? All over?
All over.
This isn't just since Ukraine, the invasion of Ukraine.
No. This is sort of people who come over on boats and, you know, they're really against the boats. Yeah, you've got to stop the boats.
Stop
if
the
you
boats.
Can't stop the boats that do get through, you put the boats on a plane and you put the plane to Rwanda.
Right, got you.
That's
understood.
The idea.
Right, I'm getting this now. Okay, and do the people on the boats coming over, do they know that this is just a stop before Rwanda?
No, they want to come. They want to stay here. And a lot of them are coming here because they, you know, they speak the language or they've got links here or whatever. But there was, I listened to some interview where they were interviewing.
And there's a lot of good hotspots in the UK as well. You have to remember the, London Eye, the M&M store in Leicester
Square.
There's
a lot of, let's not forget the M&M store.
Absolutely not.
That's why refugees coming over here, filling up our M&M stores.
Precisely. Exactly. But
I don't think they have one in Rwanda either. Or maybe they do in Rwanda. I feel like Rwanda would have lots of M&M stores.
I'm never going to live that down. I can't believe it. Why Rwanda?
Because they've made a deal with Kagame. The British government have.
Yes.
And the idea is that we send a load of refugees there and they get processed over there. But if it turns out they've got a valid reason to be refugees and to live in England, they will live in Rwanda. that's how it works.
And I'm through the grapevine, and nothing to do with producer Pete informing
What have you heard, Sean?
That no one thinks this is a good idea. No one thinks this is what we should be doing, and yet this is what we're doing.
Not even really the Tories.
Explain to me how that works.
So it's cost, I think it's 240 million. That might be wrong.
What has the £240 million gone on towards this?
Good question.
Thank you very
much.
I'm
not entirely sure. I think a lot of it's gone to Rwanda. And also,
lawyers. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Rwanda and lawyers.
So a lot of it's gone to Rwanda. And what are they doing with this movie?
Having a lovely time.
M&M, they're building their own M&M store.
Yeah,
no doubt.
They're going great. Good for them.
Is Rwanda hot?
It's hot stuff. Is it a warm country?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I'm being serious.
Well, sure. Well, it's in Africa, isn't it?
Well, I'm just confirming. No. Don't, hang on. Pause. I assumed Rwanda is hot. I would go as close to saying I know Rwanda is hot. But I just wanted to clarify, just because I thought maybe...
No, you're right. It's a really valid question. Do you know what? There are no bad questions apart from...
I was just considering it myself. That's all I was thinking.
I'm freezing.
It's January. Really... It's meant to be the most depressing week of the year or whatever it is. And I thought, you know what? I might hop off to Rwanda.
You're actually refugees.
Going.
It's not that bad. It's warm out there. Some of us have got three jumpers on.
Don't stop the boat. Start the boat. Get me on the boat. Start the boat. I want to go to Rwanda. So... This is, we're now going to move on to something that you have gone viral for. Now, you go viral all the time, but this one is particularly big. This is
this is my highest rating video.
This is your, oh, fuck, I can never remember this phrase.
The Brilliant. No, wonderful.
It's the
gloriously talented.
The best bit, your greatest
best
work.
Best thing I've
your
ever
greatest
seen.
Greatest work. What's the
magnum opus?
Magnum opus. I always, when I go to say magnum opus, end up having the same struggle.
You lose confidence. That's what happens.
Always the first bit. I just have to remember the ice cream magnum.
Yeah.
And then opus will come to me. So, the post office scandal. We've had Panorama documentaries, all of these exposés, but the one that seems to have caused made the biggest noise is the Toby Jones ITV drama. Yeah. Explain to me what's happened here.
Well, I think it's because it's quite on the kind of bare bones of it. It feels quite sort of boring. I think people are like, oh, it's to do with a computer system not working and people getting blamed for it. Where what the drama did so well is there's this bit in the drama where she's one of the postmistresses is that kind of panicking because it's the system is saying that she's owing all this money. And she rings up the helpline and she says, I don't know what's going on. It's not really working and I'm really rubbish at computers. So if you could just talk me through. And the person on the phone is going, okay, so what you do is you press this and you press that. And she does that. And it just, the amount that she owes suddenly triples in front of her eyes. And
oh
she goes,
God.
Oh, it just says it's tripled. And then goes, oh, well, that means that that's what you owe. And
oh, that is... You're genuinely making me feel sick. That's absolutely
awful.
Yeah,
it does. It's awful. So I think so many, watching that, so many people can go, we've been in situations where we're dealing with some computer system we don't really understand, or we feel like we might have done something wrong and we're not sure.
Oh my God.
And a lot of these things, it's people going, oh, maybe I don't understand the system.
Yes, yeah. As you wouldn't assume that the system has somehow faulted and it is now saying that you owe all of this money.
Yeah, and the people on the helpline, so all these postmasters ringing up saying, this is not right, it's saying this. They were going, it's only happening to you. It's not happened to anyone else. So they all thought they were alone. Sorry, Rosie, did
they know when they were saying that? That was not the case? Or were they also innocent because you're just, you know, you're working for the company and you're just kind of reading the script, as it were?
I think there must have been some sort of script. So we don't know this. We don't know if there was a script. But looking just at the evidence, the fact that there were hundreds of postmasters having this problem and they were ringing up the same helpline and the helpline was saying, no one else is having this problem, just you.
Fucking
makes you
hell.
Think that either they knew
horrific.
And they didn't care, or they were just sort of reciting a script and not really thinking about it.
Yeah.
And they didn't really. But then you had all these people who were kind of having to like remortgage their house, and then some people ended up in prison. Four people committed suicide because they were having their reputations ruined and their jobs lost.
And with everything that you've just described and how truly horrific that is, the consequence, as I understand it thus far, has been that someone has handed back a medal of some sort.
Yeah, that's very good, actually.
Which is quite incredible, because I did find that out. I did see that headline of, you know, and I don't know the names, but someone at the top had handed
Paula
back...
Paula Venables. Yeah, she got an OBE. What was weird is she got the OBE when it wasn't even like this was all secret. It had been out in the news. And she got awarded this OBE and she took it. And what's mad about this is this, none of this is new.
So we can check out your sketch, by the way. We can check out your sketch by going to your Twitter account and your Threads account and all of that. What's the handle, just in case people want to pause it and do that now? Rosie is a Holt.
Yeah, that's right, thanks.
Right, you see, this is very funny, where you play the MP, Rosie Holt. It's not confusing at all. And, you take that off. So, yes, explain. That video really hit a nerve and went viral.
Well, yeah, so in the sketch I'm set, my MP is saying, it's the fault of Toby Jones should have starred in something sooner, because otherwise...
Yeah, I watched it. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm still getting comments from people going, how dare you say this? How dare you say this? You're embarrassing.
Because people think...
Resign.
Yes, resign. It's absolutely incredible.
Resign.
I mean...
And then someone sent me a message going, you're getting fired in the morning. And I was like...
Wow. So... Yeah, so this is why you made this video, is because
because suddenly people are doing everything. It's really stupid. So you've got Paula Venables suddenly handing back her OB, but also suddenly the government are going, wow, what an injustice. You know what we're going to do? We're going to change the law and we're going to sort this all out. So all this thing that for years they've been saying to the postmasters, they've been going, oh yeah, it's bad, but well, first they were saying we're not sure we believe you. Then they were like, oh, we do believe you now, but it's going to take a long time and I don't think we can ever get you compensation, and we might be able to clear some of your names, but not all. And then suddenly they're like,
we can't get you compensation, but we can put £240 million into a plan to move people to another country.
Send those guys
but
to Rwanda.
But nothing has really happened with that £240 million thus far. We can do that. We don't know what's happening with that £240 million, but we can do that. But we can't compensate you for how much we have ruined your lives.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think I've learned a lot now. I have a sense of what the fuck is going on, Rosie. And that's down to you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. That means the world to me.
And I hope that you've learned
nothing
from me.
Nothing.
You've learned nothing from
me.
No. That's a real shame. I feel empty inside. That's how I leave a lot of my audiences. That's normal. Don't worry about that.
No.
I felt like actually during that was some of my kind of best work on this show as Mark's away. And I feel like I might fit in the world of Radio 4. I might be able to do the news today. Or is it today? No, the Today programme. Do you think I could get a job on the Today programme?
Yeah, I think why not? Give it a go.
Thank you very much. Well, before we go, before I give that a go, I also have to plug your tour.
Yeah, that's really important.
I'll ask you indeed to do that yourself. That is very important.
That's really important.
Your tour, I'm sure it must be selling out. Come on.
I don't know.
Some of the venues, I know how these things work. Some of the venues will be sold out. They'll all be sold out before the date. So make sure you get a ticket now. Where can they get tickets?
Get a ticket, rosiehart.co.uk. Easy. And it starts in April. It's called Rosie Holt. That's Politainment. It's going around the UK. And it's going to be really good.
It's going to be fantastic. And is that you as Rosie Holt or Rosie Holt the MP?
No, that's me as Rosie Holt the MP and some other people. That's right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's really clever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Multi-talented.
They've all got similar voices and they all look similar.
Yeah. Very diverse performer. Thank you, Rosie. Thank you for joining us. Good luck with the tour.
Thanks for coming on. What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
What the fuck is going on? Now, if you'd like to hear more of that interview with Rosie, why not become a Patreon supporter where there's an extended version available? It's thanks to all of you wonderful, virtuous, radiant Patreon supporters that Mark can continue his quest to find out what the fuck is going on. Just follow the link on the Twitter page or go to It's not the 90s. Just go to patreon.com. In fact, if you just type in Patreon, it will come up. And type in what the F is going on. And for as little as £2 a month, you'll get early access to ad-free versions of the regular episodes. Or if you really want to know what's going on, for just £4 a month, you'll get a longer ad-free version of the episode with bonus sketches, extended versions of the guest interviews, and with extra Elliot. All What the Fuck Patreon supporters get the episodes on Friday nights, unlike everyone else who has to wait until Saturday mornings crawling around the floor. So go to the World Wide Web on the internet and go to www.patreon.com and type in what the F is going on to join the WTF community.
What the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on?
Now, according to experts, the third Monday in January is the most depressing day of the year. I actually think it's February because I think we're all prepared for January to be the most depressing month of the year. That's what we're told. Whenever you're feeling blue, you're feeling down, you think, right, it's January, I just need to get through this. Then you get to February and you're still down and you don't know why. And you're thinking, well, hang on, I got through January. Why aren't I happy? And then you start thinking, well, maybe it's nothing to do with months or seasons or times. Maybe Maybe I am just a sad, sad man. Anyway, it does seem to affect some people, especially this woman who Mark overheard in a cafe.
Well, I heard Richard Madeley on Good Morning Britain say that Blue Monday is the most depressing day of the year. And as if to prove it, they interviewed some woman from the north who couldn't afford to feed her children. Well, excuse me for not getting out the Kleenex. Try finding out that you're not going to get the holiday cottage in the divorce settlement. And all because Colin can afford a better lawyer as he's head of marketing for Pringles across the whole of the Reigate area. And on top of that, Calvados, our homeopath, is ghosting me. After we spent that night together, he promised he'd whisk me off to his villa in the Algarve, but now he's not returning my calls. And when I went round to his house, a woman opened the door and started swearing at me in Portuguese. And Nectarine's been in trouble with the police again. She came home for Christmas, and the next thing you know, she was lying in the road outside the Hendersons. They thought she was one of those climate change protesters, but it turned out she'd stolen the case of Prosecco that I'd been saving up for the book club. I said, right, young lady, you've crossed the line. And she just started screaming, no wonder Daddy left you for Tara. And one of her friends put it on TikTok, and now it's been shared on the Spin Class WhatsApp group. And on top of everything else, I come home to find that the nanny hadn't sorted out the cutlery drawer. She was just sitting in front of the television in floods of tears. And when I asked what was wrong, she said she was watching the news about the children in Gaza. But that's the trouble with people these days. It's just me, me, me. Excuse me, do you have any alcohol-free Prosecco? I'm doing dry January.
When everybody honest, wise, or decent had all gone, there was nothing left to ask, but what the fuck is going on?
Now, it's time for Mark's favourite bit of the show, the announcements. The first announcement is there aren't any announcements this week. Moving on, people have been getting in touch with us on the WTF Patreon account, as well as on Twitter, wanting to know what the fuck is going on with certain things. Since I don't even understand the questions, let alone the answers, Pete, the producer, is going to come on and help me out. We're going to go through your questions right now. So the first one we've got is from Ruth Stevens on Twitter. She asks, why have two royals in hospital had so much attention? Are there no wars on? And on a similar theme, Allotment Slim on Twitter asks, is nobody concerned about the king's prostate? When my granddad went into Dulwich Hospital to have his prostate done over 30 years ago, the nation came to a standstill. Is there no respect? Do you know what I blame? You, Les.
Good stuff. So you've heard about this, I take it. Our beloved royals, two of them struck down with ailments, prostate in King Charles's case.
At the same time.
At the same time. Well, it's
at the same time. And that's just merely a coincidence.
We think so. I mean, it's King Charles is a prostate thing. I'm assuming that Kate is not a prostate. Otherwise, there really is a royal sensation, which the tabloids have missed.
Yes.
If her prostate's playing yes. up, that's we're getting into all sorts of territory.
And we'll obviously, and we'll blame Meghan.
Absolutely. Meghan. Yeah, Meghan Markle. She sabotaged Kate's prostate. But
So what's going on? Do we know what state the king is
I'm
at?
Sure we...
How is it? How is the king's prostate?
Well, I'm sure we will hear an awful lot about the king's prostate over the next few weeks. I mean, this is the thing. I don't mind. You know, the royal family, they're people. That's fine. I don't wish them ill. When the queen died, I didn't go ha ha dead queen or anything like that. But it's when they start going, and the king is apparently he breakfasted on marmalade, and you know, you just think that's when you think, oh, go away. Like the question said, it's like.
Yeah.
Everyone gets prostate things, and you know it's just going to be all over the front pages. And
well, it feels slightly to me like it might be a big deal. Perhaps I mean, you know, hopefully it'll be okay. Of course, we're talking as if we're assuming everything will be well, all will be well. But it's quite. I mean, that will be quite the. You know, I don't want to be too dark. I don't want to make light of. But that'll be quite the turnaround, won't it? Queen gone, then. The king, and then we have to go through all of that again.
It would be a bit like
another ceremony.
Yeah.
And who is it? Williams. William will be next.
Yeah. Space it out. It's just we've had a funeral. We've had a thing. We do these things well. We don't want another one. We don't want a repeat. It's just
That will kind of be the Liz Truss of the throne, won't it?
Yeah, he would.
I mean, he's been there for 2 seconds.
Exactly. He didn't manage to crash the economy, though. He didn't do anything like Liz Truss did in the time. He just went on, opened a few hospitals. Well, he didn't open any hospitals because there weren't any to open, but yeah.
Yes. Well, yes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he, in the King's... I didn't watch the King's Speech. Did you watch the King's... And by the King's Speech, I mean King Charles doing a speech at Christmas. I don't mean the Colin Firth film, The King's Speech. Did you watch the actual King's speech on Christmas Day?
I did not watch the actual King's speech. I thought, I'm a traditionalist. I never watched the Queen's speech, so I'm not going to watch his one either. But,
yes.
But yeah.
Good, yes.
Did you see it?
For all. But I didn't see it, but apparently he's big into the environment.
Oh, yeah.
And the looking after the planet.
Mm. Yeah, no, he's definitely...
But it's interesting, but I find that interesting that... The royal family there they're slightly that's kind of head to heads with what Sunak is doing with the environment. He's kind of gone, actually, do you know what? Forget about that environment stuff. Don't worry about that. Let's go in nuclear plants. It's quite interesting when the royal family have an opposing view to the government.
Oh yeah, I mean they're definitely. Charles is more to the left and more radical than Rishi Sunak, and probably than Keir Starmer as well, actually. In fact, yeah, it was like Starmer would go, God, he's a bloody socialist. We have to kick him out of the Labour Party. Yeah.
Yes, but explain to me what, you know, I have absolutely no idea. What the fuck is going on? What does it matter? This is what I never really understand. What does it matter that the king gives a shit about the environment? What does that matter?
Well, he doesn't really have much power constitutionally.
But exactly. So it might as well be me saying put your jam jars in the right bins. It doesn't really matter, does
exactly.
it?
Exactly. He has influence. I mean, there's all these things, the spidery handwriting letters and things which he did, which apparently there are certain policies which they do try and influence. And, you know, I think there was sort of something going way, way back when the Labour government, Harold Wilson and things, I think it was Tony Benn then, good old Tony Benn, who was in charge of the post office. Ooh, funnily enough. Yeah, it's his fault.
Yes.
That'll be what Sunak says next. Yes. It's Tony Benn's fault that the post office scandal happened. But he did, apparently there was one thing he wanted to do, which was to get rid of the Queen's picture on the stamps. It was like, you know, no, we don't need that. And she went up the wall. That was like, you can do anything you like, Mr. Benn, but my photo stays on the stamps. It was like, so that was, yeah.
I'm with her on that. Do you know what? Don't touch this stuff. I don't even like it when they bring in like Spice Girl stamps. You go, no. In fact, I don't even like King Charles' head. It should be the Queen's head on the stamp.
Yeah.
I'm a millennial, you see. Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. No, there we go.
That was my stamp was the Queen's stamp. Anyway, look, let's move on to the next question. We've got Pauline Sobenko on Patreon asks, I'd like to know what the fuck is going on with the Labour Party and its continued persecution of Jewish members, accusing them of anti-Semitism and failing to distinguish between that and legitimate criticism of the Israeli government.
Right.
Pete, over to you.
Sean, you're on your own. I think I would love to. The Middle East is, you know, let's say in a delicate situation. Right. I think what it needs now is Sean Walsh to come in now.
Here we are.
And give his opinions on this. And, you know, maybe
absolutely
insult Iran while you're at it and just deal with it.
Yeah, up for that.
I think that...
Right.
I think let's wait till Mark gets his voice back.
Should we text Mark and see if he has an answer?
Yeah, I think his answer...
Do you want to text him quickly?
I think his answer would be, I've lost my voice. I think it would. I think...
Funnily enough, do you know what? I'm feeling a bit frosty in the throat, actually.
Ooh.
Do you know what? I better save my voice. We've got some way to go for the rest of this podcast. So I'm just going to save my voice there.
I think you should move on to the next question.
At Don Taylor on Twitter, in response to what the fuck is going on, says, watch any Burnley game and you'll wonder what game the ref is watching.
See, this is it. You see, this is you're on safe ground now. Unless you say it's part of a conspiracy to rob Burnley or to rob QPR of points or something like that, I think you're all right. So, any thoughts on Burnley? Well, are they in the same league as you lot?
Shut up.
I don't know.
Same league as you lot. You don't know what.
I don't know.
I hate that. Oh, you only watch the Premier League?
No, I only watch Scottish football, Sean. Hibs are my team.
Oh, of course.
I'm no interest in you overpaid prima donnas. QPR are a sort of fucking glory hunting team to me. They're the sort of team who we couldn't dream to sign players who play for QPR. That's, you know.
Yes. Oh my God. Well, you've obviously not been this season. What's this? What's he talking about? Is it the ref? Burnley refs are making bad decisions during the game.
Yeah, this is the unique situation where a football supporter appears to think that the referee is giving bad decisions involving his team. It's unique, really.
I think it's the same ref actually that is in charge of all the QPR games. Wow. I know that ref.
Well,
I'm sorry about that, Don. I wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season. Finally, a big thank you from Mark and the team to Natalie Galustian. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I hate it when you have to say that, but you do. The latest supporter, Natalie is the latest supporter to join the coveted What's the Actual Belief Beggaring Fuck is Going On level on Patreon. Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate that. And now it's time for a sting.
What the fuck is going on?
Now, of course, it is impossible to know what the fuck is going on without hearing from the voice of the youth. I think I'm 38 now. I think I've left the youth. So we have here with us Elliot Steele.
Oh, that felt weird hearing you do it.
I'm sure it did.
It was kind of like, it's kind of like coming in and seeing your stepdad sat in a seat your dad used to sit in.
Son, get used to it. I want to know just quickly, talking about the youth there, what generation are you? I don't, because there's a lot of talk, isn't there, now. We seem to be very generation conscious, more than we ever have been. There's Boomer, I don't quite know who they are. Apparently I'm a millennial, but I don't really know what that means. There's Gen Z and there's Gen X.
I'm millennial.
You're not the fuck off, are you the same as me?
I'm missed out on Gen Z by 4 months.
So I just want to clear this up before we have a little catch up and you update us on how Mark is doing. Just clarify for me, because I'm very confused of all of this. What is, in your words, a millennial? What? So I think it's born in 1981 or something to 1995.
Well, to me, millennials, like...
But what are they? What are they?
Okay, but it's like, to me, millennial is now like someone in their 30s who has a decent job.
But, okay.
That's what... When I first started doing stand-up, millennials were complained about for being like too... Like, you'll see a comic now come on and go, oh, these millennials. And you go, they're like 35.
So they're... What, they've got family. But what is it? But a millennial is like someone that grew up with... I don't feel like me and you are the same generation. I don't feel like we grew up with the same things. It's so good.
We're not, but by proxy, I am. I identify as Gen Z.
Yes, and so you should. What's Gen Z? Because you're talking about these things as if they're just periods of time, but actually they're about attitudes and they're about identity, aren't they?
They're about language
and the way that we use language. So what is, you identify as a Gen Z, but what makes you a Gen Z as opposed to a millennial? So, okay, I'll give, I used to do a bit of stand-up about, I did some stand-up about the game, the beat-em-up game on the Mega Drive called Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Right, I was doing that as nostalgia, but I imagine you're too young. You wouldn't have been brought up on the Mega Drive.
No, I wasn't brought up on the Mega Drive. I used to play a bit of... some of my friends had a Dreamcast and stuff like that.
Jesus.
And would play on that. But I... like, PS1, Game Boy Color, yes. I think.
Right.
Those were my first consoles.
Those were your first. See, this is how I think generation should be decided, by what was your first console. So I'm Mega Drive, Super Nintendo, your PS1.
PS2 maybe.
PS2. Right, there you go.
PS2 okay. was my first proper console.
And Gen Z, this is right, isn't it? The stereotypes for Gen Z. I'm just trying to be clear on this. The stereotype for the Gen Z is they're overly sensitive. I think there was a viral clip recently of Jodie Foster, the wonderful actress that is Jodie Foster, talking about how that she's worked with a lot of Gen Z actors and they're too sensitive. Like they'll call in because they'll call in sick because of their mental health.
Yeah.
Right. So that's Gen Z.
It's fair enough, although I once got out of a gig doing that.
What?
Yeah, I once...
What?
This is really bad. I knew the promoter had been through bouts of depression and I didn't want to do the gig. So I thought, well, instead of saying I don't want to do the gig, I emailed and went, I too have depression. I know, I'm just having a bad time, so I didn't have to do the gig. I like that we both were the same, because we were once doing You Can Do My Podcast, and we sort of spent the day with each other, and I came around to yours and we were doing a gig with each other. And is when I know there's like a particular kind of comedian who's very similar, which is me and you. Well, you had already done the gig and you went, I'm sure this gig is on a farm, and I went, and you went in wherever it was. God. And it was 30 miles from Birmingham or something.
Oh, God.
And I went, nah, what you want about? It's in Newport.
Yes.
So we got on a train. Yes. Ironically, we had to get off at Bristol because we rang the other act to come get us from the state. We were like, we're going to be at Newport in about 25 minutes. And he went, what are you doing there? And we went, will you come get us and we can do the gig? And because when I'd looked at where the gig was on a map, it was near a place called Newport, but I hadn't zoomed out. And so it was Newport in Wiltshire.
So, yes, to be clear, we went to the wrong Newport. So we were heading to Wales. Were we heading to Wales?
We
ended up in the wrong country, which is incredible.
You had to bring our agent, and we've both got the same agent.
Yes.
And their
poor man.
Their demeanour was that what made me laugh so much was like, this is like the sixth time it's happened.
I know.
Like, if you combine our careers, this is between us, like, this is like too regular an occurrence.
It's the worst. I did Parenting Hell, which is obviously a huge podcast. And if you can believe it or not, Elliot, I went on a popular show and people didn't like me. If you can imagine such a thing. But I was accused of Parenting Hell of what is it called? Weaponized incompetence.
Right.
So this is a thing where I'm...
That's a new Gen Z moment.
Yes,
that's a new one.
So I was accused of using my incompetence to my advantage. Now, I think if you know me, you know that is not weaponized. I am just genuinely completely incompetent at. I would say the only thing I'm not incompetent at, that I'm genuinely good at, which doesn't serve me anymore because I don't smoke, was making a roll-up. I think I used to make really good roll-ups. And apart from that, I'm fucking useless. That's it. Completely useless. But the reason I told you that, why was it to tell you that? As you were talking about, what were you talking about? You just said, oh yes, going to the wrong town. We are bloody useless. When I was younger, I used to get so nervous doing gigs. I don't know if you've ever been this nervous, that I Googled, I feel like I've told you this before, I Googled what was the speed at which you could be hit by, in fact, it probably wasn't Google, it would be Yahooed. I Yahooed, what was the speed at which you could be hit by a car but still be alive? So that I didn't have to do the gig.
I'm glad that you then works out you could just lie and make up a system rather than having to actually go through.
That's what gigging is. That's what comedy. That's what it terrifies. That's what it does to me. It terrifies me so much. that I was actually, I was considering getting hit by a car, but timing it so that I wouldn't die.
Right, yeah, so you could, but how would you judge the car's speed? How would you know the car's
speed? Well, in London, I would know it's 20 miles
per
hour.
Would that look like 20? That looks like 20.
Yeah, 20 would probably be all right. That's why we've got 20 miles per hour in London. So if you want to, yeah. Next time you want to pull out of a gig, you know, you don't have to worry about snow or the passings of legends, and I don't have to kill off fictional siblings. You can just jump in front of a car in London. That'll get you out of the gig.
While we're being honest about it, I have used my dad's situation to put out of a couple of when he's been absolutely fine on the sofa. He's taken a bit of a turn tonight, actually. And he's looking after. And he's just there. He's just there watching like 2001, A Space Odyssey, perfectly happy. And I'm like, it's quite hard to see, actually. It's better, but keep it under wraps. Don't let others know. That's you got to add little bits of detail to the line.
Yes.
So then I don't have to go do a new material night in Battersea or something.
That's fantastic. Now, how is we've only got a few minutes left, unfortunately, because I've just blabbered on. I apologise. Give us an update. How is Mark? I've been texting Mark throughout. How is he today? Where are we?
He's all right. He's good. He popped in a minute ago. He was fine. I'm leaving him for the weekend because I've got to go to Tenerife for some shows. But then apart from that, you know, I'll come back.
You're leaving, just to be clear, you're leaving your sick dad to go to Tenerife.
The promoter's got me fast pass tickets for the water park.
Yes, this is important.
I think my dad would want me to go down Europe's fifth fastest water slide.
Yeah, we all do.
Well, you know, what's the point of what's the point of life if you're not going to go to a water park?
Absolutely.
And you know, so it'll be, you know, I'll pop back in on Monday, see how he's getting on.
Yes, and he's getting on, but it's a crucial point for all the what the fuck is going on listeners, because I think this is a very important point. Important moment in all of this is that he's on the mend. He's now on the mend. Yes. We've gone through the worst of it, and now it's only sunshine ahead.
Yeah, so it's actually going a bit too quickly, because I was hoping I was going to get a talk about it at Edinburgh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and no.
That, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when two comedians break up and then they both go to the Fringe.
Yes.
And you kind of do like an Oppenheimer. You kind of do an Oppenheimer thing.
Like Barbenheimer.
Barbenheimer. You go see both, and then you go, that's kind of what's going to happen,
yes, that's fantastic. Oh, that's great. I look forward to that. You should do that.
Yeah, you could go see his show and how he goes, yeah, I sort of sailed through it, and then you can go and see mine and go like, oh no, that was
that's a fantastic idea.
That was really bad.
You can tell us all about Tenerife.
Yeah. Well, there will be the 15-minute mark is just the 45-minute mark is just I bring it back up by talking about how good the water park was.
Oh my god! Yeah, couple, because our listeners or Mark's listeners might not know that couple. They might not know that. I know what you're talking about, but couples in comedy break up and then both do shows about the breakup.
It's really funny because what happens is like it's the angle that gets taken is like the female or the woman in the couple will go up there and do a show about like this gaslighting piece of shit, and the guy will have to then do a new show and go. Just so you know, like in between, like they're doing a bit of minutes ago, right, there's been some accusations that have been made at the Pleasance Courtyard, and I just want you all to know.
They're doing the free Fringe. There's eight people in.
But they've got just before their bucket speech, there's been some rumours going around. Yes.
I know. Imagine someone getting a book deal where they get to accuse someone of all sorts of things, and then the other person doesn't get a book deal back where they get to respond. They just have to do a tweet for free. Imagine that. That would be insane, wouldn't it? Oh, my God. Who would have thought we lived in such a world? So, I think, should we end it there? I think that's a place to end it. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad Mark's on the mend.
Yeah, he's all good.
And it will be fascinating to see if the last 2 minutes of this chat make the edit.
Oh, it won't.
No. Right. Well, thank you, Elliot. Pleasure to talk to you as always, and I'll probably catch up in the week. Have fun at the walk. Have fun in Tenerife.
I will. Let me just plug. If you are also at Syat Water Park on Sunday, I will be on the lazy river from 11 to 1.
Well, I'll see you there. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you've liked it, rate it. And if you can be bothered, write a review. And if you can't be bothered, well, don't write a review then. If there's anything at all that you think Mark should be finding out what the fuck is going on with, then please send a message on Twitter at WTFisGoingOnPod. That's at WTFisGoingOnPod. If you'd like to become a WTF supporter for as little as £2 a month and get early access to ad-free and extended versions, please visit our Patreon page at www.www.www.worldwideweb.http/w2. What the fuck is going on? Was hosted by me, Sean Walsh, with my guests, Rosie Holt and Elliot Steele. Voices by Sarah Alexander. It was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair. Music by Willie Dowling. It was produced by Mike Benwell at Carousel Studios. What the fuck is going on? Was brought to you by WTF Productions. Thanks for listening.